Hey, kiddies, Adam Carolla here. Been screwed over by a crappy contractor? Who hasn't? Put your hands down, especially those of you who are driving. I got a show coming out on Spike TV called Catch a Contractor. How does it work? We find that crappy contractor. We bring him back to fix what he screwed up. Sound good? Feel like something you could benefit from? Good. If someone you know in the LA area has a home construction nightmare courtesy of a crappy contractor, go to catchacontractor.com. That's catchacontractor.com and submit your info. Hey, kiddies, me and Ray are taking a well-needed rest, but that's fine because we have a good show planned for you anyway, a little best of. First, we have Snake, then we have Nicole Curtis from Rehab Addict. I would love to ask you, during these holidays, if you would visit aceontheroof.com, click the PayPal button and subscribe. We count on you. That's how we keep the lights on around here. It's good juju, man. $5 a month. Couldn't hurt. And we're going to get Ray a house, so let's keep the party going. I should also let you know Mangria, back in stock. Go to CorollaDrinks.com, click the shop button, and find it, or you can find it at a retailer near you. So enjoy your holiday Mangria. And very quickly, the store, brand new t-shirts, hats, great logos, great for the holidays, AdamCarolla.com/store. So without any further ado, enjoy one of our best episodes of 2013 with rehab addict Nicole Curtis.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all. A to Z, roof to basement, and in between. Ray's on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, no choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on, and welcome to yet another Ace on the House. Thank you so much. I'm your humble host, Adam Carolla. That's Ray Oldhoffer over there.
Hi.
You can visit Ace.
Humble.
You can visit Ace on the Roof. Well, it's hard. I really should be much more grandiose than I am. AceOnTheRoof.com. You can click through the PayPal button and subscribe, baby. Recurring donations. Couple bucks a month, hey, for all the free advice we're giving you. And again, Ray, he don't come cheap. He's highly sought after, and
by know, others,
yeah, and makes himself good, you know, $400-$500 a day. So figure an hour here, it's got to be worth a little something. Couple things. Got a good Gary story.
Which one
that you like? Not as
it's kind of applicable to both, right?
Not as, oh, which Gary?
Yeah.
No, this is full tard. And not as good as the stuff I normally give you. But just an interesting, here's what I want to say. I have two new sayings I would like to say to everyone. And please feel free to fold these into your own lives. Everybody, give these some deep thought.
Should I write this down?
Yes.
Okay.
If you don't show up for work on Friday and nobody misses your contributions, then show up Monday with donuts and not a fucking attitude. Because people figure out real quick when you're not there and nothing happens, then you show up with attitude. Hey, guess who doesn't need the guy with the attitude? So if you don't show up on Friday, show up on Monday with donuts.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because if you're the nice guy who brings the donuts, you'll be around for a long time.
You want a donut?
You should also clarify, cake donuts, cake. No sprinkles, no frosting.
Yeah.
Here, I
yeah.
got a cookie. I'll give it to you right now.
Thank you. I'm not going to eat it, Ray, because
I'm you're on air.
Yeah. I should tell you the disaster that was Fonda Lear in the donut run about 2 years ago. We'll find a picture of those.
Did he eat half of them on the ride back?
No.
Screw you. No way. But I would have because they were delicious.
I will get into that. My next favorite saying, new saying is whenever somebody's explaining something to me, or to be more specific, making an excuse to me, I always say,
"Is that ever done?"
There's always explanation to me about what happened or why didn't it go down, yeah. And or here's how it went down. And I always say, save it for the next guy you're sitting next to on your next Southwest flight. Because don't tell it to me. I'm standing here. I see what happens. You know what I mean? It is pretty amazing what people try to pass off. You know, from working with these people, sometimes living with them. But it's interesting what people will try to sell you. You, the only person on the planet who knows exactly what's going on because you're intimately involved with this transaction. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
and it's just, you're not buying it.
Back to Gary. Yeah. Gary Fultard.
Do you have a picture or something?
No, just Gary cleaned the truck. And when he was done cleaning the truck, one side of the truck had a whole bunch of weird black grease marks, like all over the white truck, just scuffs. I'd literally take my finger and smear them. It looked like black grease all over the side of the truck. I was like, Gary, you done cleaning this truck? Yeah. I said, I'd walk him around the other side of the truck. And I say, what's going on here? What's all this black stuff on my white truck? It's wipe it off, clean it, finish cleaning it. And he'd go, oh, yeah, I ran out of time, you know, and I was going to get to it today, but then I didn't get to it, and whatever. And I said, all right, but when you clean the truck, Gary, if you're going to clean the truck, and there's a bunch of weird, just black, just in just
tar
in
or whatever,
there,
yeah.
Just take, literally.
Don't forget that part.
Just clean it off. And he said, okay. And then we got back from the road trip, and Gary was washing the truck this time. And then I walked around to the side of the truck, and there's a big black long line there. And he said, I said, Gary, let me show you something. And I show him the big black on a white truck, like somebody took black grease and just smeared it along the fender. And you take your finger and just smear through it. You don't have to use your fingernail. Just smear it off. I said, Gary, as long as you're cleaning the truck, please clean the whole truck. And he said, well, look, we got to get something straight because I don't know how much time to put into stuff. I could do a job where I detailed this truck out, and I would love to do that job, but I don't want you saying to me, why'd it take so long? And I said, well, Gary, have I ever asked you why something took so long? And he said, no. And I said, but we did discuss the black shit on the truck, the black grease stuff on the truck 4 days ago, right? Yeah. I said, well, then go ahead and assume that I want you to take the extra 4 minutes to do that. But I do appreciate the excuse and the confusion.
Well, obviously he's been knocked with that, you know.
Just saying, everybody.
He's just projecting.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah,
you're talking to the guy who had a conversation with you about this 4 days ago. So,
and said, please clean the truck.
Yeah, and who's never ever said why it takes so long.
I kind of like the idea that he always leaves something undone, though.
Yes, there's always
there's
something.
Always a little something askew.
Yeah. All right.
Hence, Gary Full.
All right. We have our guest here. Okay. Guest coming in no is what the screen said. So I wasn't
I think you
sure.
meant now.
All right. Wow. Yeah, no and now.
Big,
really
big difference.
Gary!
Really
Gary!
Big,
really
big yeah, we'll bring in Nicole Curtis here. This is one of Matt's bookings. Matt is attacking this show. The show is Rehab Addict. It is Thursday nights. It's 9 p.m. It's on HGTV and I should say 10 p.m. on DIY Network. Good to see you, Nicole.
Thanks. Yeah. Good to see you guys, too.
Where are you from, Nicole?
Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she left.
Huh?
She left Detroit?
Did you leave Detroit?
I did leave Detroit, yeah.
Sharp. Yeah. Pull that mic up to your cooler there. Thank you. That's fine. Home improvement. How'd you get into it?
I just started on my own, you know, with my first house. I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't have any money. So It was just kind of out of a necessity more than anything else.
Sounds like what I want to be.
Yeah, what Ray would like to be one day.
When you grow up, yeah.
Well, now we're going for second life, actually.
Wow.
Well, right. Hey, there's reincarnation. You could come back as someone
could be
marginally
you.
Smarter.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that'd be
Nicole.
Fun.
We argue a little bit. We went to high school together.
Oh. We went to grammar school together.
Yeah. I try not to count
They don't
that
even
part.
Call it grammar school anymore, do they? Do we teach grade kids school? Grammar? I don't. I think it's just elementary.
Oh, something. That's true. Yeah, we don't teach kids grammar.
Or where you get like your first iPod or you know, iPad.
I still don't have one.
First grade, yeah.
Yeah, it's where you get suspended for making the Ray.
Shh.
Doing a finger. Ray, how many times would you have been suspended under today's new guidelines of like no choking? And no doing
well, I've been. Anymore. I was suspended. What, like 4 or 5 times, probably.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now but, you'd be.
I wouldn't even be admitted in school.
You'd be left out in the desert.
What, I couldn't imagine, like, if they had Facebook when I was in high school.
Oh,
I would have been a wreck.
My God!
Well, you would have just been getting high all the time and meeting people everywhere or whatever.
No, they would. All the snarky little girls would have been making fun of you.
I don't think
cute.
I'd be sitting here. No, I'm.
Well, she probably was
cute,
a snarky
though.
Little.
No,
Ready,
I wasn't
cute.
I was not cute. I was a tomboy. My son always looks at my like old pictures, and he always says, "That's Uncle
Mom,
Ryan."
Mom, who's a
right?
lesbian?
Like, no, that's me. So,
Drew,
no.
Let her finish her statements, please. And by the way, guys will bang the occasional tomboy. You should know that. I hate to be crude, but a lot of hot chicks do the, oh, no, I was a tomboy. I'm like, all right, I'll take some of that.
Well, are you calling me a hot chick then? If that's
yes,
what,
we
okay,
are.
Well,
I'm
then,
not
thank
allowed
you.
To talk
thank
right
you.
Now.
I'll take, yeah.
I've seen enough.
You're on timeout, see?
Yeah, I'm on timeout. I'm benched.
Grammar school, we're getting benched. The dunce cap. You're in the corner.
I've seen enough movies to know the tomboy always turns out to be hot. At least in all the 80s.
There's
movies.
Something about peaking too early. Mm-hmm. So, you know, middle school didn't happen for me. High school didn't happen for me. And then 18, all of a sudden, I finally went through puberty and there we went. So,
oh, you were on the late freight?
Yeah. I mean, I was just like this ugly kid with the bad perm from Fantastic Sam's. And, you know, I'd wear the yellow polka dot earrings.
Keep talking.
Just so you know that I was a girl. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was always, I'd walk into a store or something, they'd be like, you're the most patient little boy. So, yeah. And now I'm in, you know, construction, which I don't get to be girly very often. And, you know, I really am a contractor and a designer, and these are all my projects. So, when I do finally get to be, you know, off my job sites, it's nice to like take a shower and actually wash my hair and go out, put on some heels, and you know, look like a woman rather than a contractor all the time.
Nicole,
flip flops,
yeah, baby, she's wearing flip flops.
Okay, relax.
I'm super excited right now.
I know, relax.
I think I'm going to swing around to the other side of the table.
No, I wear them on the construction site also.
Okay,
that's fine.
Nicole doesn't do that. So, Nicole, you are an actual contractor.
Yeah.
All right. So you know actual things.
Yes.
Because we've been burned before.
Oh, you have. Okay.
I mean, I've had Ty Pennington on the show. Not this show. Other shows. And I've spoken to him about construction. It turns out he doesn't know anything.
Okay.
But you're not that person.
No. I always say that I have so much useless information about construction that I'd rather know, like, really cool things whirling around in my head. And instead, I'm thinking, you know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that all the time?
We got to vent this a certain way or whatever.
Yeah, and it's been a learning experience for me because I didn't go to college to be into construction, and it just kind of fell into place. But, you know, I'm always sitting there. And now, technical names for anything – I don't have it because, again, I taught myself. And it's very interesting for me to have, you know, work alongside my carpenter or something. And then he watches me do something. And he's like, oh, you're doing this all the wrong way. And I'm like, well, I've been doing it this way for 10 years. Show me the easier way. So it's a learning process all the time. But one that I absolutely love. I mean, I'm on my job site all day long. And I'm the last one to leave. So,
by the way, you can't go to college and be a contractor. They don't fit. They're not simpatico.
Yeah. I don't know any who have ever done that. We'll take some
Well,
questions.
I went to JC for a year. Yeah. Made the dean's list. Made the dean's list, JC. Thank you.
Yeah. He has a list of assholes he doesn't want to let back on campus, and you're on that list. Thank you. Fine. You don't think he has two lists? You don't think that dean has another list? Of people he never wants to see again.
Moving right along.
So, Nicole, can we do a little construction quiz?
Sure.
Are you up
I'm
to
sure
it?
I'm sure I'm going to fail, so let's just get it out of the way.
We'll start with the basic.
Wow.
Stud layout. The layout, the spacing on walls, the studs in walls.
You know, here's the other thing you need to know. I only work in houses that are 100 years old.
All right.
So if you're going to throw me on some new building code or anything like that,
this is 100.
Fail
this is,
miserably.
This is pretty old.
Yeah. Okay.
The layout?
Yeah. You know what? And I'm going to tell you, I look at my walls and some are 12, some are 16. Mm-hmm. And really, we never, we kind of take apart as we go along. But all right. I'm one that tries to keep as much as the original structure in. We don't believe in open floor concepts, so I wouldn't take like a really cute 1922 Tudor out in Hollywood Hills over here and gut out the entire interior and start new.
Right.
We keep everything original.
All right.
So it's a little different
twist. You don't do that. You don't blow out all the walls.
God, no. I hate those people. So, yeah.
You don't like mid-century? You don't like case
houses? No, I love mid-century. I'm about if
What it is is what it is.
Gotcha. If you don't want a home with a formal dining room, don't buy one with a formal dining room. And all of my houses, when I say old homes, I'm talking like 1960 before. Mm-hmm. Something built 1982, 1990. Do whatever you want to it. Mm-hmm.
I'm a little after 1960, thank God.
Well,
so are you.
I think, for instance, they lived a different way. And I'll give you an example. If you get a house, and some of this is a regional thing, but if you get a house from the 20s, in the 20s, the kitchen wasn't a place you hung out. It was a place where the servants hung out.
Right.
And it was a workplace. It wasn't a show place. So they had one door. That door had a hinge on it that was like a Western saloon door. So you could back into it and it'd flap shut. And nobody.
Service door.
Yeah, the service door. And nobody went in there.
We call that the door that could take your fingers off. So,
that door, yeah. And so in an older house, the kitchen's going to be small. It's going to be real functional, but really small and meant just to do work in. And then you bring the food out into the dining room. But if you now, people hang out in the kitchen, they have a TV in the kitchen, they sit with their family and have, you know, they put the island in there and they have the bar and all that kind of stuff. So what do you do in a situation like that? You're going to have to blow out a wall or two.
Well,
otherwise, you have a tiny little kitchen.
I'm all about additions or anything else. I'm just saying the people that take this tiny kitchen and then blow out that beautiful formal dining room wall with the oak paneling all the way to the top and they make it all this open concept. Mm-hmm. That's not for me. Now, of course, you know, we had back of the house rooms, our kitchen, our back stairways, the little attic rooms, all that. Even your second floors, your guests weren't supposed to be up there. You entertained them in your front sitting rooms, your parlors, your main area. Those were always the fanciest rooms, the most detail in the woodwork. That's where they spent all the money. It was like, you know, nowadays we spend money on our cars, so you drive up and everyone's impressed. The front of your house was that.
Right.
That's where you showed what you're worth. Yeah. So the kitchens, I mean, you had a little tiny sink and all that. So I keep the original character with modern amenities and luxuries. So I blend that all in together. So, of course, my kitchen doesn't look original to 1904 because otherwise we'd have a cook stove, a sink, and, you know, one little cabinet.
And that weird
tons
door
of cast iron.
Tons of cast iron. Yeah. And the door that takes your fingers
all
off.
All right.
That's right.
The difference between base shoe and quarter round.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm gonna have to ask for your help on this one because
I was drawing you a picture.
No, I know. No, no. You don't have to draw me a picture. I'm not cheating either, just so you know at this. But, you know, base shoe, you know, we just use as an extension of our 6-inch base. And then.
Right.
What did you say?
Quarter round?
Quarter round I use when I put it up there because we have the gap in the hardwood flooring
right,
or anything.
Right.
So
the base shoe is
like the original piece. And the quarter round is what I add because all the modifications through the years, we got to hide that 1-inch gap that's
gap.
Now floating out there. Yeah.
All right. Let's pass that one, Ray.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Two for two.
Lath and button board?
Yes.
You've torn out a lot of that.
It is. You know, the lath... I try to keep – if the plaster's in place, keep it. I mean, I couldn't recreate plaster if my life depended on it. That's an art. I would love to see how these guys put it on the ceiling. I mean, I would be covered in plaster after plastering anything.
You know the thing about stucco and plaster is you have to believe.
Right.
No, you have to have Mexicans.
You have to believe in Mexicans. No, if you – I swear to God, because the first time I did – stucco, I held the hawk up, I got the trowel, I smeared it, and it all rolled off.
Right.
And then I smeared it, and it all rolled off. And then a guy came up to me and did the exact same thing, and it all stuck. And then he handed it back to me, and he went, like, that's how you do it. And then you do it, and it sticks. And then once you do it, and it sticks, you believe it'll stick, and then it goes. But
it's also a risk thing. It's not a belief thing. It's a risk thing.
The stucco has to fear you, Ray.
Yes.
It has to respect you like an animal.
But the better technique is the slap technique.
Mm-hmm.
When you slap it on
Mexican
with it.
On the ass.
Yeah.
Tell me
no, you have your diamond trowel and you smack it on like when you're floating out, you know, showers and stuff. That's what, and then you have to mix it dry so it doesn't crack.
Mm.
Yeah. I have a mason from Italy. Like, he grew up doing masonry work, like, in Italy at, at 10, at 12,
whatever.
Is he a
Mexican that grew up in Italy?
Yeah.
What's his day rate?
I'm in Minneapolis. But it's all the flick of your wrist.
Yeah.
I can't play tennis. I'm horrible at tennis. So, and the other thing is you do watch somebody do it, and they're like, oh, I can do that. And then I try to mimic the same thing. And so I always say, hang on. Show me again. And then they'll take my hand and they'll actually put it through the movement. And it's so awkward. And then you sit there and you're like, oh, all right. It's a technique.
And
that's why
ceiling.
It's a lost art. So when I see plaster, I leave it there unless it's completely, coming off the lath. Mm-hmm. And then we'll remove it. But I also remove just sections of the plaster that's damaged, patch it in. On certain projects where you have the plaster cove ceiling and everything, then I'll bring in a plaster expert. But if it's a hole in the wall, I'll patch it in with some drywall, skim coat it, and then no one ever knows, that the plaster was.
It's great when they make those templates for that. When they scrape with the cove, they'll make a template.
Oh, yeah.
And then scrape it across.
The houses I do are, they were like the poor man's houses, right? So I don't get the very beautiful plaster work. I just get plaster walls.
Yeah. Ray's talking about is a contour thing that's the shape of the existing. Crown or whatever they have up there, and then they'll drag it and it'll make it that shape. All right, do we have some calls? Do we have some questions?
Oh, yeah, we do. We actually have a video question all the way from Melbourne, Australia.
Okay.
Wow.
Another great accent here. This one's from Sam.
What's going on, fellas? Sam here. As you can see, I'm renovating my house. I'm ripping up this fucking floor vinyl. It's giving me the shits. I need your help.
Oh, I see that all the time.
Stuck.
Don't hurt that wood.
Obviously, this used to be where the laundry was, so a bit of water on the floors, up with glue release, but it's getting in parts here.
All right, screwing with that floor.
He's not going to hurt the floor with that. So.
Shovel and.
Well, he is, because Ray and I want to keep the floor.
Well, no, he's going to keep the floor, but we have to sand it anyway,
Well, yeah, but he owns
the
couch.
I use a bit of heat.
Yeah.
A bit of whatever. I'm trying to get.
All right, he's trying to scrape up a vinyl floor that's a house probably from the 30s or 40s or something. I mean, it's not a plywood subfloor. So, what do you think?
Look like oak.
He needs a heat gun.
Yeah,
heat gun. What he needs. He needs a heat gun and then a,
Did you see my cheat sheet?
No, I swear to God I did. I love heat guns.
Me too.
Milwaukee one I bought, 10, 15 years ago for $25 and it's still rocking. Sorry.
Right. You can pull it.
But
pull
no,
the mic up.
I think he needs a heat gun and he needs a good scraper and plant his butt on the floor for a couple hours and.
Here's my only thing with the heat gun, which I agree with, but I'm worried about possible asbestos in that old floor. It might have some. It might not have some. It probably has some. So
respirator.
But heat on the asbestos probably not a great plan.
No, you don't want to cook it.
I might rather get like a Hudson sprayer. Get some, wallpaper remover or something, wet it down for the asbestos
or steam
purpose.
It.
And I just put it on, let it emulsify a little, but get a good scraper. He's got a crowbar. He needs a real scraper, like a real long-handled.
And you know what else works? That Smart Strip is great.
What is Smart Strip?
It's the stripper where you can stick your hand in it. It's biodegradable, won't hurt you.
Okay.
And I've thrown it on concrete floors. Strips off 10 coats of paint.
No way.
Yeah.
Leave it there for a day, cover it.
Yeah. What
awesome
I've done,
product.
Yeah. What I've done with this before, too, on these kind of floors, I take boiling water and I pour it over it, and it makes it all sticky again.
Right.
And then I take my scraper to it, and for that, because it's boiling water, I take the long linoleum scraper to it.
Yeah.
And then I take newspapers, and I blot it down, and then I walk around on it, and it takes all the stickiness with, and then we just throw the newspapers out. So.
Smart. I like it.
You should have asked Adam with it. Look, you know what?
Yeah.
2 for 2, 0 for 1.
What do you mean, I'm saying.
You didn't come up with that. You said,
you guys wanted to cook asbestos.
By the way, it's not asbestos. It's not black.
I thought it looked like newer tile. But
yeah,
I have to tell people because, of course, I'm on TV and someone sees me without a mask and then they go do it and they get some funky disease from the old house materials and it's my fault. So always wear your mask. Always wear your glasses.
Yes.
Don't do as I do. Do as I tell you to do.
And it's an old floor. It's an old house, an old floor, and that floor was not – I mean, it could have got recovered, but that was an old subfloor.
I still think you're wrong.
Listen, right. Everything has asbestos in it, so they say.
Baby powder used to have asbestos
right.
in
right.
it.
We still use it in building materials. It's just coated different now.
Let's do this, though. Once he does the floor up, let's refinish the floor, and I like painting the floor. That's
you like
my
painting
thing.
The floor?
I know. He paints tile.
What?
Yes.
He's lucky floors. He's that far. You cannot paint hardwood floors. Why would you do
sure
that?
Sure you can.
Really?
You can paint softwood floors.
Well, you can paint anything you want, but why would right. you want to do that?
Well, I'll tell you why. Oh, Ray, what are you talking about? You've seen my kitchen. You've seen my kitchen floor.
No, your kitchen. That's different. That's a different application. That actually turned out well.
No, Nicole, I'm going to change your world,
okay.
sister. Uh-oh. I'm going to change your world. You can paint softwood like clear dug fir.
Yeah.
And you can paint oak, too. And it looks really amazing. And you can do it well. Now, what you have to do is you have to paint it, and then you have to go over it with your Varathane or whatever else you'd be putting on your gym floor or whatever, because that's all you'd be putting. You know, if you were staining the oak floor, that's what you'd be putting over right. the top of it anyway. Some floors have so much damage, like pet stains and yep. stuff like that, that it's really, they're just beyond you sanding them out with a drum sander. And I have done a lot of interesting stuff where I've done painting and I've done borders. And the thing about the border is you do it with the blue tape, but then when you pull the tape off, it's too sharp.
Yeah.
It's way too sharp.
Okay.
So you get a scenic painter to pick like a neutral color and do like a hand, like a half inch pinstripe
down
in between. You can
you can look at that.
You can see my floor in my kitchen a
okay.
little bit.
Okay.
The floor's painted. And the reason I painted the floor in the kitchen is it was Doug Fir,
TNG,
but it had so many holes in it, and it was patched up so much that if you did it clear, you just see all the patches. And I painted it, and
so
it works
got that
really,
gold pinstripe around it,
it
from the red and the green.
It works really, really nicely. And so on a floor that you don't want to tear up or you don't want to cover, but might have too many patches or too many animal stains to ever really stain, paint grade, man.
Yeah, you know, I guess because I have. Like, I have a big rescue dog that has these monster claws, and he does, like, race laps around my house, like all the time. So I'm always afraid to paint anything. The areas, like, I have the same fir floor in my kitchen. That's when I whip out I mix my own stains. And I have a little bit of ebony and a little bit of mahogany and some walnut thrown in there. I mix them all up and get a really dark color on it. And then it just kind of blends in everything. The thing that I like about staining floors is that, like, when the dogs or the kids or anything else scratches it or do anything else, I take my palm sander out real quick, give it a quick sanding, and I can finish that little area. I'm just always afraid to paint any kind of floor just because of wear and tear.
Yeah, but you know what? The actual the patina is kind of cool on it. Like
yeah.
it doesn't look. I mean, it's the
makes
same
it
thing.
Makes it look like it's original.
Same
almost.
Thing applies, yeah. which is
no.
I
have to say, I like the picture of yours. Most people show me like something like, you know what? I don't like. They'll take like very beautiful, perfect floors, right? And that's why I always caution in telling anyone they're allowed to paint woodwork because they'll take something that isn't damaged and then they'll be like, oh, well, you said we could paint woodwork now. So you know, I walked into a house a couple weeks ago and they had these beautiful walnut floors with like mahogany inlay all the way around
wow.
everything. She's like, well, I really want to brighten it up. So I thought painting. Those yeah. people, we no. say we want to shellac them upside the head because it's
yeah.
just like you don't realize what you have.
Uh-uh.
If it's damaged, if it's beyond repair, I might give you a pass. Might. But you still have to get it, you know, approved.
No.
By me. Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. If you don't want to do next to that floor is one. That with inlays in it
yeah.
that I did leave alone. But the same principles apply, which is you're going to put two or three coats of Varathane over the
okay.
top.
Yep.
So if the two or three coats of Varathane get penetrated, you're either getting into the paint or you're getting into the stain. Either
yeah.
way, you're getting out the orbital sander and
yeah.
doing the touch-up. So it's almost oh, it is the same effort. The whole
right.
idea is keep the Varathane good,
yeah.
and they'll never get down to
oh,
the
yeah.
paint.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? I have people argue with me all the time about you can't have hardwood floors in kitchens. You can't have them in bathrooms. Why can't you? It's just because you're
They've
not
been doing it for
yeah,
centuries.
You're not sealing your floors properly.
Yeah,
you
can
know.
Do anything you want, wherever you want, as long as you maintain it. But
right.
I will say this. Jimmy Kimmel's old house had a butcher block counter, and had a top-mounted sink.
Yeah, that's a bad counter move.
And it came to, water just built up and built up, and nobody sealed it. And there's certain things where it becomes like driving an old car. You can drive a Ferrari, old Ferrari from the 60s every day, or an old Buick, but it's going to take a little. You got to stay on it.
Right.
If you think you're just going to park it out on the street and jump into it and hit work every day, it ain't going to happen. And if you want hardwoods in your floor, or you want a butcher block countertop, that's fine. You got to stay on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and standing water on anything, you got to get up.
Yeah,
you just have to get up standing water. And people leave it. It freaks me out.
You know what? People I always say it's common sense.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, when people say, well, you know, we don't want an old house because it's so much maintenance, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Just use your – it's common sense with anything. And it's funny because you can't teach that, right?
Right.
They don't have a school
like,
of
hey,
it.
You spilled a Coke. Yeah. Clean. Maybe wipe that up now.
But I use a lot of white Carrara marble too, right? And everyone always says, oh, you don't want that in kitchens. I always put it in my bars and everything. And I said, well, yeah, if you spill a bottle of red wine on it, it's going to stain. But let's just not do that, you know? So
well, there's a couple things I was about.
Well, use poultice.
I was about to say that. No, I wasn't going to say that. What I was going to say is people say, oh, no, you got to have a granite countertop because it's just so
granite.
Much sturdier. And it's like
– sturdier.
It's so hard to
– show that
looking.
Picture again and you're going to see
Carrara marble. Look at that. Yeah.
And you're going to see marble on the other countertop too.
Yep.
Now, as the example I was going to use was
– by the way, all ace design there.
Oh, thank you.
He came up with that whole thing.
I know. I love it. Yeah. I love the red.
That's
and the
half
yellow
fag
and,
in him.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Please take turns, Ray, when she's talking. Go ahead.
She's laughing now.
You're going to get
I know.
Beat.
But
that's
don't talk
just
at the same
time.
Huh?
Okay. All right. The point is this. Marble is not necessarily what you want to use on a countertop. It's not as durable. But all you have to do is seal it once a year. And don't do what my stupid buddy Daniel did when he was at my old house where I had slate countertops and he was having a margarita party with a couple gals. He took a lemon and he placed it downward, a half lemon, at the end of the night. And I was asleep. And the next day I woke up and I lifted the lemon and it was like somebody had etched a lemon design into the counter. All the citric acid and everything had penetrated and there's no way to get it out. So you can do whatever you want, but be aware that you're doing what you're doing and seal your countertops once a year and don't leave the red wine or the lemon on it.
Right.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have another question or two?
Yeah. I got another email question here. This one is from David. Hey, guys. Love the show.
Hold on.
Sure.
Like to compliment me anymore in my kitchen?
No. Done.
Oh, I wanted to tell you. No, I was drooling over your light fixtures. Those are fantastic in there.
Yeah. That's my living room. Bachelor fireplace.
I'm coming to see. I never have a budget for homes like this. So.
To give Ray his due. That fireplace was sitting in another house of mine that's 90 years old, and Ray said, let's take it.
Oh!
Let's cut it out. Let's take it with us.
I did.
And I said, how are we going to take out this fireplace, Ray? And he said, we're going to do it with angle grinders and diamond blades.
That is
and
beautiful.
And I said, that sounds like a lot of work. And what if those tiles break? And he said, we'll try one. And we took it out. We got one out. And Ray probably took about 115 tiles out of it.
Oh my gosh!
We marked them all.
Probably four broke in the mix, and then went back to my house and installed them. And then everyone says this: "Huh? What a great coincidence! It all fit perfectly." And I said, "No, it did not. No, the hearth." So, who are these people that just run around and try
that's
to...
That's the same one that leaves standing water, by the way.
Thanks, Ray. Try to minimize my accomplishments constantly. That hearth on the bottom there used to be on the top.
Oh.
Which just moved it down to the bottom because I didn't have any room at the top. But,
oh, my gosh.
Anyway, now, the questions. Sorry, I'm done complimenting myself.
Not a problem.
I'm not.
All right, this email reads, I'm 38 and have owned for 2 years.
Yeah, winner.
We want to open up what is now a picture window and install a customized panorama window that opens up. In order to do this, we have to move a load-bearing king stud. This window is on the first floor below a bathroom, and we would be cutting toward the corner of the house. How much would it cost to just move the stud, and who does this? Is this a good idea? The other options would be freedom doors, but I would rather have a bigger view. But I don't want to jack up a perfectly good house. Thanks, guys.
Freedom doors are what we call French doors here because we're true Americans.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. Yeah. So, moving the load-bearing king stud is not what you got to do. I mean, it is what you're going to do, but you're going to have to head that out. And,
yeah.
And you're going to need a bigger header. And thus the stud's going to go, but the bigger hassle is
shoring it up.
The header that's going to have to go. So you want to take this window. If you want to take a window and go from a 5-foot window to an 8-foot window, the header's going to have to be changed. The stud you can remove, but when you remove the stud, the header's just going to be floating above it with nothing going down to the ground. There's the king stud, the trimmer. That's the thing that's under the header and attached to the king stud, and then there's the header. And not only do you have to swap the header out, you usually have to step up to a larger header. Or you can step up to another material like steel or paralam or glulam or something like that. So if you want to head out this opening, it's going to take a little work, but it ain't no big deal to blow it out and put a new header. I don't know what's on the outside of the house. It looks like stucco. I don't know where he's calling from, but it kind of looks like a Southern
California.
Where's
it from?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
It doesn't say where it's from. So this is not a, you know, it's a rough framing job that's going to cost, I don't know, a couple grand probably for somebody to do this. Thoughts?
And usually the header is 1 inch per foot. So you have to accommodate for that also.
Yeah, but that's if it's dimensional lumber. You could do this out of steel if you wanted to buy yourself some extra view room.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a cat door on the left down
I
there?
Think so.
That's what I want to know.
Looks like a kitty door.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted
yes.
by that.
Nicole, thoughts? Yeah.
You know, I would definitely want doors here or something. You just feel like you want to jump through this window anyways. But I don't think it has to be that costly. But the same thing. I always tell people, they get so stuck on what's structural and we can't do this. Anything can be done in a house. You just have to redistribute the load. So
right.
if you're taking this out, we just have to figure out a new plan for it. I'm able to do that all the time, you know, on my projects and, you know, open up doorways and do all that good stuff. But again, it's making sure that you still are supporting all that weight of your roof line and this corner piece properly. And this is not one of those projects that you just decide to do on the weekend and, you know, you go to it with your sawzall and your wife, you know, screaming in the background, what are you doing and taking it out. So you definitely want, you know, a contractor on this one.
Well,
I think, and kind of do it.
What
right?
do you think this? Well, what I'm saying is I don't like doing things halfway in the sense that, you know, people go, well, it's not really in our budget to completely open it up. So we're just going to take our existing opening and we're going to put some French doors in it. And then you kind of live with it for the next 30
right,
years.
Right.
My thing is you either don't touch it or if you do touch it, do it the way you want to do it. And the way you want to do it, I'm looking at this opening, is maximum opening.
Yeah, because
I'd have the same reveal all around.
Yeah,
though,
the 4 feet on the right is bugging me.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would just open that entire thing up.
I would too. Keep in mind, there could be some plumbing or electrical or whatever going through that. But get as much head space as you can by using, probably in this case, steel to span that thing. It's a little bit of a pain in the ass, but you'll get a lot more headroom in there. And then they have all kinds of new doors that are sliding, that are accordion style. That they're doing all that sort of indoor, outdoor, you know, open up the room to the outside of the house. It opens things up completely. So go sick, as my gay friends would say. Next question.
Next question here is an email from Josh. He is a 37-year-old homeowner who bought his first house at 29. Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Wow, winner.
He writes, guys, we're
all Ray doesn't have a house.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You didn't get
I bought my first one at 18.
Wow, 18.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Remember Carlton Sheets? No money down. You used to get the
Oh, you followed the program?
I bought the program. Yeah.
Wow.
I really did.
Now, hold on. That's not the guy with the question marks on his jacket, was it?
No.
That's the guy to get free money from the government.
Yeah, yeah, no.
this guy, Carlton Sheets.
Carlton Sheets, yeah.
I don't know if that was a regional.
That was
thing.
A late. No, it was national. It was national.
Yeah, it's got national. The people on the yacht and the people in the pool.
Right.
And
some Asian guy with a ton of girls with him, too.
Yeah.
It's almost like that, that genre, you know?
Yeah. The Asian. Oh, that guy. Yeah. No Money Down. Yeah. I remember Tommy Vu.
Oh, that's him right there. I don't even know. Is he still around? I mean, this was when
Tommy
Boo's
in jail.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Carlton Sheets. Yeah, yeah. So no.
Did
that's
you do
how,
it in alone, Lone Star?
I know I did a land contract, a contract for deed. So I put, I think it was $3,000 down to get my first house in Tampa, Florida. It was $58,000, and my house payment was $596.42 a month. So,
wow,
a little something called chutzpah.
Yeah.
18 years of age, Ray.
Yeah, yeah, I heard it.
I can give you the cassettes. I probably still have them. So
yeah,
they're cassettes
for sure.
Who has cassettes?
Oh, they're actually 8-track.
I have that.
I'm a little younger than the 8-track thing, so it was just cassettes.
All right, give it a Ray.
I might.
All right, guys, this is the next email here. We're talking to contractors about replacing the original windows and siding in our 1940s Cape in Connecticut. Windows will be Anderson 400 series full frame replacements, and siding will be cedar shake. We'd like to use the opportunity we'll have to add as much insulation as we can when the siding is off the house. One of the contractors is suggesting the blown-in insulation requiring holes to be drilled on the outside of the house. A siding guy is proposing wrapping the house with 1-inch rigid foam insulation. Both will wrap the house with Tyvek. I have two questions. What would you suggest for insulation? And if we go with the rigid foam, how do we deal with the additional 1 inch of width with trim around the windows without it looking weird? We'll replace all the exterior trim, fascia boards, etc. with the siding. Thanks, guys.
All right. Nicole, thoughts?
Oh, I am not for new windows in old houses. And so I get torn apart all the time by these energy efficiency people, the advocates. But, you know, the old windows, as soon as you replace those with new glass and new windows, it just takes the aesthetic. You know, the appeal of having an old house.
Yeah, but they got to live in it. And
yeah,
it gets
I know.
Cold.
I live in my old house.
Yeah, I do
put on
too.
Extra socks.
I do too. But
you're in California.
It's
not the same cold. I see some snow there too. So
all
I
all right.
Feel
but let's
for
say
them.
They're
yeah.
doing it.
Yeah.
What do you think about the insulation?
You know, and here's I'm always a toss between the foam and the blown in because, you know, blown in. Where's it going to be in 20 to 30 years? Is it circulating around your house? I think so. I don't know. This is one that on every single project I do, I'm just kind of
all right,
which way do we
want
to
go? But it's encased.
Go.
I mean, they put it within studs.
First off, I don't understand why they're not going with expanding foam. I don't know why.
Because it can blow apart.
No, hold on a second.
How does it blow apart?
It doesn't. Hold on. No. Okay. Right. Oh. They're stripping the outside of the house.
Right. But that's not – do you think all the studs are going to be exposed? It's not. It's going to have like ray sheeting everywhere.
Well, it's just it's
going to have
shake.
The slats everywhere.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No.
How do you think the shakes? What's the shake attached to? It's not.
There's going to be something running diagonally. But
right.
I don't know. It's not going to be plywood.
No, it's going to be like it's going to. You're
going
to
like
have full,
one by.
Right. It's going to be one by, and it's going to have a gap in there, so you're going to have tons of room to put whatever you want in.
What's going to blow apart if you put if you do expanding foam in there?
Well, in this case, nothing.
Oh, in this case,
well,
what
like
case
Gary
are we talking
said,
about?
Ray
like,
doesn't own a home. No, I'm just kidding.
I believe
Ray doesn't own a brain.
Too.
What case?
You're right.
What case are we talking about, Ray?
Oh.
I'm saying if you drill the hole like within stucco and then do expanding foam in there, not a good move because it can blow out.
That's not what you said. I said, what about expanding foam?
And you said it blows up.
I said it can because it expands a lot.
But in this case.
But then
case,
you can just cut it off. Who the fuck cares?
I'm evidently not you.
No,
Ray,
I'm out.
Sort your arguments out, would you?
I am with myself right now.
You know what I want to know? What is the budget for this? This sounds like crazy expensive. I'm looking at his shakes. I mean, we have some ones that are wicking up right here on the bottom.
Yeah.
But.
Why
well,
replace
the money,
them?
Who has the money to take the entire outside of the house off?
Not right.
Move. Go buy your dream home. That's what I don't understand.
Can you put that other thing up so I can write that guy's name down and get that program?
Nicole will give you the tapes.
Yeah.
They come in a suitcase.
He has snow. He must be in my neighborhood. Maybe I'll just go knock on his door.
All right. I will answer the question that was queried. The two friends to the right seem to refuse to. So I will step up and answer.
Tyvek paper is a great
Tyvek wrap is good. It's good. It's going to wrap the house. The 1-inch foam rigid insulation over the Tyvek is fine. There will be a step in, obviously, when it comes to the windows. One might be able to order the windows with a wider jam and avoid this 1-inch step in. If we're too far down the road in that project for that, you can mill anything. I mean, you can mill anything with a rabbit or a dado or something in it where it just steps down, steps in, picks up the gap. Rave done it 1,000 times. When you're doing you're doing a transition. What about these assholes who put the big Mexican pavers in their kitchen?
Yeah.
The huge Mexican pavers in their kitchen? These ass wipes? I don't know. I don't like those people. And then there's the step up.
No,
I hate that.
You got an inch and three quarters between the dining room and the kitchen, but you put a transition piece in there. Everyone kicks it, but you put a transition piece. So there's all throughout your house, there's height differentials. They pull out the carpet. They undercut this. They do that. They put in the tile. And you have to put a strip that's a transition strip. So there's some milling that's going to take place. It's not the biggest deal in the world. I think that if it were me, I wouldn't do the blown insulation because what do? You put on your new tile on the outside of the house, your new shingles, and then you take a hole saw and you drill a bunch of holes in it and you blow in insulation. It feels...
You could even get bats in there, I would assume.
They would go to the inside.
I would think you could get bats. Yeah, I don't know why they...
Because it's going to be open.
I do blown in like a... you know, a stucco house because the outside is all formed. If we're going from the inside, then I channel the top of the ceiling and blow it in. But on this
I would move. I would look. I would,
there you go.
All right. Here's what I would say. Look into expanding foam. Look into popping off a couple of the raised sheathing things and pulling in some bats of insulation that might work. Although those bays just may be a mess and that could be a disaster. I like the blown, not the blown, expanding. And so, and if I didn't go, I would go expanding foam, then I would go rigid on outside with just some mill work on the window to step down, and then the third I think would be blown cellulose from the inside. Thank you. But what do I know
about
insulation?
Also you have, and then like you were talking about mill work and stuff, you can find it. And it's adaptable to whatever the application. Like, it's not like you have to mill your own shit.
Well,
I have to make my own.
You may
stuff
have to make your
time.
Own shit.
Yeah.
To match something, though.
Yeah.
Okay, that's different.
No, but Ray, I don't know that you're going to find this per se, but if it needs to be made, it's easily made.
Yeah.
It's no big whoop. Just like Maxima
Style. Okay, I'm right. I'm wrong again. I know.
Sometimes you can be wrong, like most of the time. I'll tell you where you're not wrong. When you shop at MaximaStyle.com, LED, baby. That's the future. The bulbs, they last 20 times longer. They use 1/10 the energy. You can replace a 50-watt bulb with a Maxima Style 8-watt LED bulb for less than $15. Save tons of do-re-mi. I have them all over my house. I can't help it. I love these bulbs. And they also do the night lights for the kiddies because that's burning all night. Nice to have that. Porch light, good to have LED. All the outdoor lighting for sure. LED flashlights. They got motion sensing lights, electrical switches. Contractor or just someone who likes fixing up the house or saving money. Maxima Style. Go to MaximaStyle.com. And by the way, good guys, good sponsors. Use the coupon code Adam for additional savings. All right, let's take two quick questions, shall we? Let's see. Any experience in putting in artificial grass? That's an interesting one. Kids are leaving lights on. All right, we'll just start at the top, take the last two. Miguel?
Hey, Ace Man, Ray.
What's going on, Miguel from Phoenix, 29. Do you own your own home?
Yes, I do.
Woo-wee!
It's ironic that you're Miguel, so you're Latin, and most of you guys are gardeners, and you want artificial grass, just so you know.
You're putting your own people out of work, man.
It's effed up.
Yeah, well...
yeah,
I
call that Uncle Tom Bien.
Uncle Jose.
Thanks, Ray. You're right, that's better.
Okay, Tom Bien. Wow. What's with you today?
I'm just trying to teach you how to do a fucking radio show.
I thought we were doing pretty well.
No, you're not. Miguel,
Yes.
Sorry.
Hey, Ace Man. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to say that I'm the guy that made that You Know You Want Me Boy song for you.
Oh, yeah, we have that somewhere. Thank you. My new theme song. Listen, I don't know a whole lot about this artificial grass business. I know they used to have stuff and it looked like artificial grass from outer space, and now they have stuff that looks pretty darn good. And I can tell you, as someone who lives in Southern California, the grass is an ongoing battle. And the reason it's an ongoing battle is because the goddamn sprinklers are an ongoing battle. You adjust them. You go back in your house. 2 days later, they turn on. They're all over. They just spray the side of the house and the car again. You go adjust them again. You go somebody kicks that knocks the sprinkler head off. They never go back and fix it or anything. It just shoots a geyser. I have seen. Here's how bad grass is. Grass is like I'd had sprinklers. They go in a circle. They'd be 8 feet apart. There'd be a little narrow corridor of like 6 inches where they didn't overlap. The grass would be dead.
Yeah.
And just that little thing.
It is amazing.
It's the biggest time suck, water suck, cock suck in the world. It is horrible. Go with the artificial stuff. Get somebody to do it. I don't think you really want
to. It ranges
do it
like
yourself.
From 10 to 13 a square.
Yeah.
And I've done it.
So, Miguel, do it. And especially from Phoenix, you'll save yourself a ton of water. And like I said, the technology has moved forward so fast on this, and it just looks great now. So go for it. Matt?
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. Now we got a little problem with our board here. From Pittsburgh, 32.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Your kids
Hi, Adam,
are leaving.
Hello, Ray.
Hey.
Hi.
What's going on?
Ray, I'd just like to say, all these guys that like to rub it in their face about the homes they own, you don't ever call them for advice. No one calls them for shit. So
I don't call them either, and thank you, Matt.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, anyway. Who's got the last laugh now?
Wow, okay, yeah, I'm laughing. Let's come on. Pick it up. Let's do some radio.
Uh-huh. I'm essentially in the same position as you, Adam, with the children leaving lights on in unoccupied rooms and space heaters and the like. And I was wondering, this is probably something that would be a lot easier for you to do with your means, but it would probably be a massive undertaking to put in what would essentially be another circuit breaker somewhere else in the house, like with specified circuits on it, such as like outlets that the vital is plugged into, you know what I'm saying?
No, but look.
I'm walking out of the house, and I look over, and I
this fucking connection is so shitty. Was it his thing, or is it our board that went shitty when we tried to do something?
I think
something?
It was him.
All right, so here's the thing. As far as, first off, like I said, LED everywhere just makes the pain less when you leave and all the lights are on. Obviously, it's hard to get people. It's a micro version of a macro problem, which is a little society inside your house. The person that pays the electric bill is the one who's following everyone around, shutting off every fucking light and shutting off every fucking space heater. The other people magically don't give a shit. And there's no amount of conversation you can have to ever get them to give a shit. The only thing that can get them to give a shit is slap them with a bill that says $489 for electricity this month. Now you pay it.
Hey, that's Ace, would you ever do that to Lynette?
You.
Wait, would you ever hand her the bill for 2 months? You have to pay this. This is on you and see what would happen. I mean, do you think she would be as diligent as you? Is there any chance of that?
No. Nobody's – listen. It's not anybody's fault. It's called human nature. It's one out of every 100 people, and I happen to be that person, that will shut the lights off in a room that they're not connected to. When I do theaters, I leave my dressing room to go out on stage for 90 minutes. I shut the light because why does the fucking lights need to be on in my dressing room when I'm on stage? It's my dressing room, and there's nobody else in there. So that's what I do. No one else – well – one out of every 100 people might do that. That's just how we're wired, pardon the pun. So if you want to get your kids to shut the lights, unfortunately, since it's not an option for them to pay the bill, you go reverse engineer it and you go, if you go a week without me coming into your room and seeing your space heater on and your lights on, I'll not beat the shit out of you.
The space heater is a little scary. Like, that could burn the house down. Like, why is the space heater left on? That one. Yeah.
I walked by the iron.
No.
On the floor.
Oh!
On the carpet.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Who hasn't pushed the iron over onto the carpeting before, and then you have that weird triangle patch forever?
I was the only one in the house.
I would have freaked out.
Well, I'll tell you the scariest part. The scariest part is the iron doesn't have a light on it, which is insane to me. Anything that generates a whole shitload of heat should have a red light when it's on.
An indicator or something.
Yeah. But the scariest part, Ray, is not that the iron could have burnt down the house. It's that I was in my master bedroom. I walked past the iron that was plugged in the wall sitting on the carpet about three times, and then I went,
I better go
check that out. That is the scariest part of this entire equation,
My mom used to do the same thing. I think I left the oven on because she wouldn't use the central heat or anything. She'd always have the oven. So I'd take her to the fucking hospital or wherever we were going at the time, and she'd go, we have to go check. I think I left the oven on.
Ironically,
nope.
The German lady always wanted the oven
on. I leave the lights on as a luxury now because I grew up in a household where my mom would always shout, "Do you work for Edison?" I mean, it was just, so now I'm like,
oh, I like that.
I'm an adult. I can leave the damn light on. So,
well, I'm old.
My house is lit up like a Christmas tree all the time.
Well, are you paying for it?
I'm paying for it.
Well, then it's your prerogative.
That's just, you know, I'll wear my old flip-flops, but I'll leave my lights on. So.
All right. That's a lot of range and a lot of show. Nicole Curtis, by the way, rehab addict. It is on Thursdays. It's on at 9 p.m. It's HGTV, and it's also DIY Network at 10 p.m. The website, NicoleCurtisDesign.com, and the Twitter, NC Rehab Addict. Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I like the cut of your jib, baby. You and Ray, are you single?
I'm single. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a boyfriend, but I've never been married, so.
Never been married?
Nope. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Who's this
man? Me neither.
Who's this man of yours?
He's somebody from Minneapolis, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should see Ray with a shirt off.
You
gonna be in town for a while?
If it'll get me back to living in L.A. and then I don't have to deal with snow, options are open, So,
we can live at Adams.
Ray's got a Murphy bed at the apartment.
In the red and yellow kitchen. Yeah.
Pull out the Murphy. Who is this Murphy where bed was named after him? I'd like to get Jacuzzi and Murphy into the same room and have an argument. Yeah. Oh, fuck you. Are you kidding? You have a pot or people sitting farting. I have a bed named after me. Okay, dude.
You'd have to make your own, right? Not available.
I see Murphy beds all the time, secondhand. Yeah.
All right. Well, see it firsthand over at Ray's house. So if you want to support the show, we thank you so much. AceOnTheRoof.com. You click through the PayPal button, you subscribe, and you give us a nice little reoccurring donation. And you can also check us out on Amazon and our link and check out Ray. You can follow him at Ray Oldhoffer. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Nicole Curtis and Ray Oldhoffer. Matt Porcelain Punisher and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.